In 1932, a German canoeist called Oskar Speck began an epic journey that would last 7 years. Oskar paddled his folding canoe from Germany to Australia. He arrived in 1939, just in time to be interned for the duration of the Second World War as an enemy foreigner. After his release, Oskar became an opal cutter and lived out the rest of his days in regional New South Wales. But his incredible trip from Germany to Australia inspired our next guest to retrace the route. Sandy Robson travelled 22,000 kilometres through 20 countries on a solo kayak voyage. And last week, she was the 2017 recipient of the Australian Geographic Society Adventurer of the Year Award. Michael McKenzie caught up with Sandy Robson and asked her how she discovered this extraordinary story of Oskar Speck.
Well, actually, I was out at a party with some friends and some people started talking about this guy who had done this incredible journey. And it was sort of a bit unbelievable, you know, you're like, really, is that possible? And afterwards I went home and Googled it.
Now, I have to ask, the social situation, this party, was this already a party of canoeists?
No.
Because just, I have to say, Oskar Speck doesn't come up in my party conversations very often.
No, just people who were talking about kayaking and, yeah, long journeys and crazy trips.
Right. And there he was. So you went home, Googled him and read about his life. And it really is quite an extraordinary thing because I was too doing the same thing in preparation for our conversation. And he just decided, because he'd lost his job in Germany, to basically kayak to Cyprus and thought, this is so much fun, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, that's right. He was really captured by the journey and the adventure of the journey. And he described his kayak actually as the first class ticket to everywhere because he said it took him to places that five-star travellers in the ocean liner's finest suites in those days could never imagine.
And look, here's you doing something that kind of retraces Oskar's not only thoughts but actual journey all these years later. And when you began preparing for this trip, knowing that you were going to be covering kind of the same route, was there anything in Oskar's experiences that you were able to draw on so many years later?
Well, I did go to the Australian National Maritime Museum in Sydney where Oskar Speck has all of his effects of the journey archived and did a bit of research. I was able to look at his journal that he was writing on the banks of the Danube River in 1932. Huh. And I was really trying to figure out what challenges he faced and what I might be up against. But he wasn't a very good diarist and it was actually quite difficult to follow it. You know, he would write a bit, it would be a bit sporadic and then there'd be like months would go by where nothing would be written and then something exciting would happen and he'd get it back in his diary again. But I figured out in the end that I was sort of playing a game of Chinese whispers with Oskar Speck in trying to follow his route because he was going into places in like Yugoslavia where he didn't speak the language. And so he would hear the name of a place and he would write it down in his journal. And then that journal was in German.
Yes.
And then someone in the Maritime Museum then translated that into English. And then finally I read it and had to figure out where it was on the map. And
is that because place names had changed?
Some of the place names had changed, but also I think, you know, sometimes he didn't write it down correctly. He just wrote it phonetically how he heard it necessarily.
Wow.
So I actually had this great adventure trying to figure out whereabouts he had launched in the Vardar River in Macedonia, which was then Yugoslavia before. And he wrote somewhere, scribbled on the back of a bit of paper that he had launched at the Narodna Banka. And I thought it's the bank of the Narodna River. And we were in the Maritime Museum going through these very old atlases trying to find this Narodna River. And was it a tributary that flowed into the Vardar or something? And then when I was in Serbia, I was sitting there. I still hadn't like figured out where this place was. And I looked at a banknote and I just started laughing. And it said Narodna Banka on the money. And so what he actually had done was launched outside the bank.
That is fantastic. That's hilarious. I love that. My guest here is a world record holder in a number of events now, Sandy Robson, who's an Australian kayaker. She's just been the recipient in 2017 of the Australian Geographic Society Adventurer of the Year Award, and for good reason. Because, Sandy, let me just tell people, and I know this might be slightly embarrassing, but let me just tell people the world records you now hold. First person to circumnavigate Sri Lanka by sea kayak. First woman to paddle the coasts of India, Bangladesh and Papua New Guinea by sea kayak. And the first woman to paddle from Sri Lanka to India across the Pork Strait. Were you even aware that you were setting new boundaries as you did all this stuff?
I wasn't really thinking about world records or anything like that when I was doing it. And I sort of realised afterwards the significance of a lot of it. For Sri Lanka, I knew that I was the first kayaker to make it round because Oscar Speck had never like completely circumnavigated the island. I changed the route a little bit to be able to achieve that.
And we should explain to people, it's not all marine coast. You actually, in retracing that route of Oscar's, had to traverse internal waterways as well.
Well, I started off in the Danube River, which is the second longest river in Europe, and followed that to the point where Oscar Speck got bored because there wasn't enough rapids and excitement, and he decided to go off into this river in Yugoslavia that had never been paddled before. And after one day, he broke his kayak so much that he had to wait for several months for parts to arrive to be able to repair it. Oscar Speck also, with this folding kayak, because you can fold it up and take it on buses and trains and this kind of thing, he went from Cyprus across into Syria and then got a bus to the Euphrates River, and he went through the Euphrates and through another river in Iraq. But that part of the journey I was not able to retrace just because of the war in Syria and mines in the river in Iraq.
Yeah, I think that's a good decision, Sandy. Traversing a river full of mines was a good call, I think.
Yeah, they have to draw the line somewhere.
Nevertheless, 22,000 kilometres through 20 countries, you're seeing countries in a way that none of the well-worn tourist routes can even imagine, I would think. You would be encountering people in some cases who rarely would see Westerners. Am I correct?
Yeah, I've really first encountered this kind of feeling when I was landing on the shore in India. And that was like my training ground for the whole of Asia because I thought, oh, there's a beach, there's a few kids playing cricket. I can just land there and go and ask if I can stay at someone's house for the night. Mm-hmm. And then when I landed, I got surrounded by 200 people. And the crowd was so big and crazy that the police had to come and control things. And
this was just curiosity, fascination with this Western woman arriving by kayak.
Yeah, the thing is that women don't go on the sea there. And so it's quite culturally different for a woman to be alone and to be on the sea by herself. Mm. And then in this boat that they had no idea what it was, I was paddling a folding kayak there. So they would come and poke the boat and try and figure out what it is. And there was also an element of fear as well. You know, was I a terrorist and what was I doing here? And what, you know, and then they'd ask me what I was doing and I'd say, well, I'm paddling to Australia. And they'd be like, yeah, right. They wouldn't believe you. And then you'd get questioned by 2 or 3 hours by the police to try and figure out what you're really doing.
So did that happen more than once where you were taken in by the police and questioned?
Yeah, it happened repeatedly and I got pretty good at having to deal with that. But it's exhausting when you've paddled, you know, maybe 40 or 50 kilometres and all you want to do is cook your dinner and have a sleep and get ready for what you need to do the next day. And then you have to field this, you know, police interrogation and then finally you get to somewhere where you can sleep. But I did have great supporters in India that helped me get through and helped to manage things as things went along. And I got a great support from the Coast Guard, and they would be very helpful because sometimes they could just talk to the police and then they'd be like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Sandy, Oscar Speck took 7 years for his journey. You beat him by 2 years. It only took you five. How did you live a life like that for 5 years?
I really loved it, and you have to be able to continue for that amount of time. I really love connecting with nature, and I like places where nature is big and where I feel small in comparison. And I love the simplicity of travelling in a kayak and just having a few things. And I think that, you know, you really learn a lot about yourself, and you're seeing how other people live in the world, and not just tourist places like you were saying before, but, you know, going into like these very small villages and just really seeing how the people live. And I think that reflecting on that, I've learned a great deal about myself. So
tell me an insight you've gained from those 5 years.
One of the big things that I've learned is just about how to welcome people and how to treat strangers. I think in Australia, we tend to have this stranger danger philosophy, and it's not like that everywhere in the world. And there were many places I went into where people were incredible hosts and welcomed me with open arms, even though I didn't speak their language. And they just had this real philosophy that a stranger is a gift from God, and that if you see someone who's arriving, who's different, then you go up and you talk to them and you find out why they've arrived into your world and, you know, what exciting things are they doing and do they need anything and can you help them? And that's a really great way to go about things. For example, in Turkey, you can land on almost any beach in Turkey and within 10 minutes someone has brought you a cup of tea, and they go and, you know, have picnics at the beach, and they always bring extra cups in case they meet someone. Yeah, these are like just little things that I will take into my heart as I go forward in the world.
That's fantastic to hear because, as you say, we live in a climate of fear so often, and international events seem to bear out those fears. But you've just described, in part at least, a little bit of a snapshot of humanity that shows that there is still so much humanity left.
Oh, yeah, it's really amazing. And, you know, when I was stuck there in the crowd of 200 people, my friend and sponsor in India from Quest Expeditions, Jahan Driver, he gave me the best advice. He said, Sandy, you're going to get surrounded by these big crowds of people and it's going to be really intimidating. He said, what I want you to do is like, you have to look into the crowd and you have to choose someone. And that person is the person who's going to look after you and find you a safe place to stay and make sure that everything's okay. And it's as simple as that. You choose someone and they take the responsibility and they take pride in it.
I'm writing that down. That is a great travel tip. I think that's brilliant. Now, we should talk also about some of the downsides to the trip. We've talked about some of the great things that happened for you, but is it true that you got run over off the coast of India?
Yeah, so I was paddling through an area that has very high security. It's a rocket launching site called Sriharikota on the east coast of India, and you need special security clearance to go through there, which I had. But the police can't look at every part of the coast every day and monitor things. So they tell the fishermen, if you see any strange boats, we want you to capture them and bring them to the police. But the fishermen don't have any training in how to capture people. So they chased me down and ran me over in my little kayak, ran basically over my lap, and I was trapped underneath the boat trying not to go over. My boat popped out from underneath theirs, and then they grabbed my arms and they restrained me to the side of the boat and started ripping stuff off the deck of the kayak. And I realised I just had to sort of change the tone of the situation as they were getting really excited. So I just started speaking in a really calm voice. I said, okay, I'm going to do what you want. It's okay. I'm going to get out of my kayak. Please don't do that. You're going to break everything. And finally, they realized that I was complying with what they wanted, and they allowed me to get out of the kayak so we could lift it onto the boat without breaking it further. But they had sliced through the plastic and sliced through my spray deck. And there was a lot of damage.
What happened to your body over the course of 5 years? Did it change?
Yeah, I got really strong, lost a fair bit of weight. Great weight loss program. you get a lot of mental strength, and also, yeah, you just feel really healthy because I was paddling 40 k's a day and I didn't really have a lot of stress. People said I looked a bit younger.
Brilliant. And after 5 years of committing yourself to this trip, home now for a year, how hard's that been?
It's been really awful.
Has it?
So hard, yeah. It's really hard to adjust. And I feel like I've changed personally, and I've changed in my values. And I feel like I've been trying on my old life and it doesn't fit anymore. Yeah, it's been a real struggle.
So have you come up with some resolutions to make yourself feel better about this?
I sort of was trying to fix everything all in one go at the start and getting really stressed out and unhappy. And then I realised that I just have to take my time to sort out the changes I want to make in my life, and, you know, that I can't get there all in one go just like that, like magic. So, yeah, I'm trying to fix up my house to sell it and perhaps move somewhere a little bit closer to the beach, and trying to find some work that I can be really happy to do.
I can hear in your voice that this has really been a struggle. I'm just wondering, is there a way for Sandy Robson to spend most of her life doing what she loves to do in a kayak and still earn an income and have a living?
Yeah, it's really hard to make adventure pay, and that's one of the struggles. But actually, what I would like to do right now is write the book about my journey, which I'm endeavouring to do. But this year I've just had so many personal struggles, I haven't done very well at that. So I've gotten a bit stronger and decided that, you know, I have to really set some good goals for next year to be able to get that completed.
Well, I hope you know, while you're dealing with all that, that I hope you know that your journey and your attitude towards that journey and what you've achieved must be an inspiration for girls, women, boys and men everywhere.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. One of my friends gave me some great advice recently that once I start writing my book, it'll be like sort of reliving the journey, and that will help me mentally quite a lot.
In the meantime, it's great to know that you've not only broken these records, but also had your enormous effort recognised by being the Australian Geographic Society's Adventurer of the Year. Sandy Robson, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. And if your listeners would like to look a little bit more into my journey, they can have a look at my website, which is sandy-robson.com.
Sandy Robson, marathon kayaker and 2017 Australian Geographic Society Adventurer of the Year, with Michael McKenzie. There's also a link to that website of Sandy's on the Life Matters website, along with some images from her 5 years on the water. Also a link to info about the man who inspired Sandy's trip in the first place, the German kayaker Oscar Speck, who ended up making Australia his home.